The title of the series is Your Job is Your Ministry. Would you please say this out loud? Say, my job should be my ministry. And last week I talked about the fact that work is a gift. Work is not all that bad. And so sometimes we think it's tough and it's rough, and it can be tough and rough. But it's also a gift. It's a gift from the Lord. And if we would really embrace that and receive and be thankful that God has given us employment for many different reasons, and then start realizing that God has placed you in your position to perhaps minister to some people. And so work is a gift. Would you please say that out loud? Say, work is a gift. Go ahead and pinch your neighbor and say, hey, work's a gift. Today, my subtitle is Work is an Assignment. Work is an assignment. Somebody once said this, hard work won't kill you, but why take a chance? And so sometimes we don't want to work that hard, even though we know that it's not going to kill us. I shared with you some of these stats last week, but 85% of people worldwide actually hate their jobs. They don't like what they do. Bring that over into North America, and that same poll said that 70% of people in the United States hate their job. And so if we do the math today, many of you might be sitting here today and you don't really like what you do. And so you're just putting in the time, you do it for a paycheck, and that can be understandable. It may not be your favorite thing to do. This is from Forbes magazine. 90% of people say work is more often a source of frustration than fulfillment. And you might really relate to that today. You might think, well, when I go to work this week, it's really more of a point of frustration. Maybe you don't like the people that you work with. Maybe it's a hostile environment. Maybe it's just not that pleasant. It's maybe not your favorite thing to do. This is from a Gallup poll. 87% of people say they are emotionally disconnected from their workplace. I take that to mean that they probably just clock in and clock out. They get their paycheck. They do what they need to do, but they're not really emotionally involved. That may or may not be your situation today. But we're all designed to work, and that's what I tried to share a little bit with you last week, is that God created us to work. In fact, when he put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, be in charge of this estate, be in charge of this place, there was certainly meaning and fulfillment and even pleasure in doing something. I'm sure it was hard work, but there was fulfillment. And I think we could all relate to that. Sometimes you do a project or something that's really hard, but you accomplish it, and it's fulfilling. And even the process of doing it can be fulfilling. The only problem is the curse, of where God said that from then on, there's going to be toil. It's going to be difficult. But in Christ, I really believe this, that we can learn to have grace and fulfillment in what we're doing, and there can be purpose and there can be meaning in what we do. And so we're all designed to work. Don't be afraid of work. It's not that all that bad. Somebody once said this, doing nothing is really hard because you never know when you're finished. So you might be here today, do you think, well, it'd be nice if I didn't have to do anything. But eventually, you wouldn't be fulfilled. There wouldn't be meaning in your life. And so even if you had all the money in the world, you still should work. You still should do something. You still should try to reach people. You should try to minister to people. You know, if I'm completely transparent and honest with you today, if somebody dropped $1 billion into our life and ministry, I wouldn't change what I'm doing. I would continue doing what I'm doing. I would just do it at a whole nother level. I would just start churches overseas. I'd start Bible college. I would just build churches. I would help. I would keep doing what I'm doing, but hopefully at a larger scale. And so it's not about not doing work. It's rather finding what God has called you to do and realizing that you're ministering to people. And so you spend a lot of time at work. Think about how many hours. You probably spend at least 40 hours, but I know most of you, you're hard workers, and you might spend more like 60 hours, especially if you have your own business or you're a supervisor in a supervisor position. Most of you probably work a whole lot more like 60 hours probably a week. So I understand that. So you spend a lot of time at work. I think the question to start asking ourselves is what are we supposed to be doing while we're there? It's not just clocking in and clocking out. And so I want to submit to you, one, that work is a gift, but secondly, it's an assignment. If we could view it as an assignment that God has given to us. Now, it may not be your favorite job, and we'll talk about this later in the series on how you can trust and believe the Lord for something maybe more fulfilling, but that's another message. But today, I would encourage you to accept whatever assignment God has given you. Just accept it, and then after you accept it, and we'll talk about how we can accept that assignment, then we're going to pray for strength for our current assignment. So you have an assignment, and I would submit to you that your job is your ministry. So how can you accept your assignment? Well, the first point I want to make this is that God is sovereign. So it might not be your favorite place today, but if you could please accept theologically that God is sovereign. Listen to Psalm 103:19. This is out of the NASB. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. What that tells us theologically is when God is sovereign, that ultimately he is in charge of the plans and the purposes that are going to happen. And so he's sovereign. Now, Acts 4:24, you carry it into the New Testament, says this. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. When God says he's sovereign, he's above the heavens and the earth. He's above this world. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have a choice. In fact, you do have free will. So God is sovereign. Now, when we say that God is sovereign, he has absolute power over everything. That doesn't mean that there's not a rebellion going on, a usurping of his authority. We're in the middle of a spiritual battle. So Satan rebels, humans rebel. But overall, God is sovereign. In fact, we could say it this way, that eventually God is going to send Jesus back and he's going to set everything into order. And so he is sovereign. But secondly, we still have a free will and we can choose to cooperate with him. So when we say God is sovereign, we're not saying that we don't have free will. No, we have free will. We can cooperate with God's will. Now, let me give you a couple of scriptures to demonstrate that. You have free will. So, for example, in Proverbs 16 and verse 3, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. So you have a free choice to take a job, to resign from a job, to knock at the doors and apply to different positions, right? And it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and then your plans will succeed. That's your free will. So there was a bit of your will involved in whatever assignment that you have or whatever position. But God's sovereignty is still in play. So take this verse and connect it to Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Can you see how it works together? On the one hand, I'm praying, I'm planning, I'm doing whatever I can. That's my free will, Lord. And Lord, would you bless the things that I'm doing? On the other hand, how many people know you can knock at a lot of doors, all the doors may shut because the plans might be in your heart, but God's purpose will prevail. And so this is how free will and sovereignty actually work together. And so I want to submit to you today that the job and the position, however you got there today, whether you really wanted it or not, but the job and the position you have right now is your assignment from God. Can you accept that today? It may not be easy because you may not want to be in your position, but if you could accept it, say that this is, God, this is your assignment for me right now. In fact, maybe he's got something amazing for you, a better job with a promotion, something that you'll really love. So this is temporary, but right now, could you say, God, this is your assignment for me. And so I want to learn whatever you want me to learn. I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to minister to whomever I want. And then, Lord, when you move me on, I'm ready to do that. Now, some of you guys are very fulfilled. You're settled into your career, settled into an understanding of what you do and how you impact people and how you reach people. But I think we need to accept God's sovereignty, that whatever position we're in right now, that the Lord has allowed us to be there, and how can we make the most of it? Now, when we talk about accepting our assignment, I think you'll agree with me that work can feel like slavery. Don't you feel like you're you're a slave, that you're enslaved sometime. Okay, so let's talk about this. In the first century, in the Roman Empire, most scholars estimate that 25% of the Roman Empire's population were slaves. Can you imagine? So a quarter of the population. So slavery was part of the first century. Everywhere everyone went, there were slaves. A quarter of the Roman Empire, the population were slaves. And so that's why the Bible is actually quite silent when it comes to dealing with slavery sometimes in the New Testament, because they knew that this was part of the culture. But we're going to look at some things today that I think you'll find very, very interesting. So slavery was part of the first century, was part of the culture. But then the Lord is very, very clear. He says, if you can gain your freedom, gain your freedom. So interlaced throughout all the Old Testament, God was all about freedom. In the New Testament, interlaced throughout the New Testament, it's all about freedom. So listen to 1 Corinthians 7:21. Paul says this, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. And so he's saying, you know what? He's not going to deal with the systemic problem, but he's just saying, now try not to let this trouble you. I'm going to give you some practical things that you can do while you're living. But if you can gain your freedom, gain your freedom. And so now let's apply this to work. You feel like a slave sometimes. You're working hard. You feel like you're being taken advantage of. And so he says, hey, don't let it trouble you. We're going to talk about some practical things today. But if you can gain your freedom, gain your freedom. If you can start your own business, if you can be independently wealthy, if you can get a better job, okay, do that. Gain your freedom if you can. Now listen to Galatians 4 and verse 7, because this was monumental. This was extraordinary that the New Testament writers wrote this and that this is what they preached. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. If 25% of the population were slaves, a quarter of the population were slaves, and everyone was coming to Christ, slave owners, people that had slaves, didn't have slaves, people that were slaves, but they're all coming to Christ, and now this message comes forth that says, you're no longer a slave, you're a child of God. You're a son, you're a daughter, and you're no longer a slave to sin, but you're a child to God. This was huge. This spoke right into the systemic problem. This spoke right into a terrible evil that was taking place. But he gives them these practical things. And so he says, gain your freedom if you can. And then he says this, whatever situation you're in, whether you're free or whether you're a slave, bring glory to God's name. Bring glory to the Lord's name. So whatever position you're in today, God's saying, you know what? Just bring glory. Bring glory to your name. So I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm going to read the first two verses to you. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves. So let's look at this, but I want in the backdrop of your thinking to be thinking about employment and thinking about your job situation. So this, if you look at the first verse here, all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect. The Greek word for master is despotes. And that's where we get our word despot. That's very, very interesting. So the Greek word for master is despotes, where we get our word despot. What's a despot? A despot is a ruler with absolute power. Okay? So in English, what that has come to mean is somebody who uses their power with cruel or evil intentions. So in English, when we refer to somebody who's a despot, they have absolute power, but they're evil. They use it for their advantage. They oppress people. They take advantage of people. But the Greek word despote simply meant somebody that had absolute power. Okay, so what's interesting is that the Greek word despotes can actually be translated as sovereign. I want you to lean in and pay attention to what I'm saying. So the word despotes in English means evil, but in the Greek, it just means somebody with absolute power, and it can actually be translated as sovereign. And I want you to think of it in terms like this. If somebody was royalty, we would refer to them as his or her majesty, and they could be a benevolent king or a benevolent queen. They could be good, but they have absolute power. They are the sovereign. And so people that are monarchs are still referred to as sovereigns. So if you just look at 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2, but if you drop down to verse 15, this is the same word. Watch how it's translated. He who is blessed and only sovereign, despotes. That's despotes. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So sovereign is despotes. It's the person with absolute power. It's God who has absolute power in our lives. Now, he's not evil, so there's no evil intent. There's nothing bad about it. He is the sovereign. He is a good king. He's a sovereign king. So this is really, really interesting. So I want you to think about this in terms of your employment and things that you are doing right now. Now, verse 1, all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their despotes, their masters, worthy of full respect. Now, do you see the word slave there? That's the Greek word doulos. So doulos could mean somebody that just works as a slave. It could be an indentured servant as well. They had indentured servants where you would work maybe for 7 years, do something, and then you would get your freedom. You would buy back your freedom. It was like a contract. But either way, whether someone was just a slave or an indentured servant, they had no rights. No rights at all. Now some of you are thinking, now you're talking about my boss. I know what you're thinking, right? So the Greek word doulos means slave. It can mean an indentured servant. So I would submit to you today, if you could think of it in terms like this, that if you think of your boss as someone that you need to respect, because in doing so, you're respecting and submitting to your sovereign king who is over your boss. You following me? Okay. So God, in the natural, we need to understand work as our assignment. You might feel like your boss is not your favorite person, but if you could submit to him and he is despotes, he or she is despotes, but really the sovereign one is over them. And so in submitting to your boss and doing your assignment, you're really submitting to the Lord. Say amen to that. Okay, so God is sovereign. So the next point is this, and I'm not a some people might be afraid to look at these passages. In fact, you may not want me to look at these passages, but I'm going to anyway. The next one is this. You got to obey your boss. You got to obey your boss. So look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Okay, Colossians 3 and verse 22 says this. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Now, let's stop right there. You might be here today and you say, well, I'm a business owner. I'm the boss. Well, in essence, then you're serving your employees. You're serving your clients is really what you're doing. And so you become that person that does it with sincerity of heart and out of reverence for the Lord. Now, this one I want to show you where it says masters. It's actually a different Greek word. It's not despotos. This one, in this verse, it's kyrios, which means or can be translated as Lord, and in many passages, it's translated as owner. So now you can see the connection, that it could be your boss, could be the owner of the business, but the idea here is that you're obeying your earthly masters, your earthly bosses, your earthly owners, you're obeying them, in what you need to do with your assignment. Now, this is interesting because the Greek word for obey here is hupakute. Now, this word is really, really interesting because it's a compound word. The first part is hupo or hupa, and it means under, and then kute, which is the root of the word, is to hear. So it literally means under hear. So if you're going to obey, you have to under hear. In other words, you are under your boss and you listen to what they say. That's what that verse means. So if you're going to really submit to your boss or you're going to obey your boss, you're going to come under and listen to what they say. Said in the vernacular, you're under orders. So if you really obey your boss or the people that you're serving at your employment, you're under orders. And this is your assignment. You're doing it, but you're doing it as unto the Lord. I'm going somewhere with this, but if we really get this breakthrough in our heart and realize it's our assignment, we're serving not just the people we're around, but we're serving the Lord, and God is going to bless you for that. God is going to reward you for that. So we obey. We obey our bosses. The next point is this, and I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, the next verse. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So work with all your heart. Could you do that? Where when you're working for your employer or your boss, and maybe you don't even like them, but you say, you know what, I'm doing this not for you, I'm doing it really for the Lord. So you're working at it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Man, that's powerful. And so many people are afraid to look at these passages because of the context of slavery. But look, he's saying, hey, if you'll work at this with all your heart for the Lord. So imagine if you were enslaved as a person and the Lord is challenging you with these verses. Can you imagine? He's saying, hey, I want you to serve your owner just like, but think of it as serving the Lord. So none of us are in that position. You are free. But now, hey, I could do that for my boss. I could do it for my company. I could do it for my clients. I could do it for my colleagues at work. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Now look at the next verse chapter 3, verse 24. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So if you're working and you're doing something that's really uncomfortable, you don't like to do it, but you're really doing it as for the Lord, hear the word of the Lord today. God wants to bless you. He wants to reward you because you're doing it with a heart and gratitude, you're doing it with the right attitude, and you're doing it for the Lord. So you're really serving the Lord. You're really not serving your earthly boss. You're really not serving the people. You are, but you're not. You know what I'm saying? You're really serving the Lord, and God says he's going to bless you. And then verse 25, he says this, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. In other words, let God judge your boss. Let God be the judge of that. Now, this is powerful because if you're in a situation where you don't like the way things are going, where you would do things differently. Now, I'm not talking about if something's unethical. That's a whole nother deal where if your boss is asking you to lie about numbers, asking you to be unethical, you may have to get out of there and say, I resign from that and trust God to give you another position. But if you're in a situation where it's just mainly, you know what, I don't like my boss. I don't like what they're doing. I would do it differently. Until God promotes you or provides a place for you to go, what you do is you serve and then let God be the judge of your boss instead of you judging him, instead of you judging her with your words, with your gossip, with your anger. No, instead you're serving the Lord and accepting this as an assignment so that you can influence and affect other people. Amen? Can you say amen? I'm preaching better than you're listening. Okay. So accept the assignment that God has given you. Now, here's what we want to do. We want to pray for strength for your current assignment. Okay, so stay in Colossians, but I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, and we're going to read verses 9 to 13, and then I'll make some comments on it. So now, keep in mind where the context, okay? So you might be in a difficult situation. You feel like a slave. That's understandable. But you're really doing this as unto the Lord. Verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the first part of the chapter, he said to them, we've heard about your faith in the Lord. Even before we met you, we heard about you, and so we've been praying for you. And then verse 10, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we need to pray for strength for our assignment. Whatever your job is, you pray for strength to accomplish what God has called you to do in that moment until you finish your assignment. And when you finish your assignment, He'll say, okay, here's a promotion, or here's another job. Or if you start feeling it, okay, you knock at those doors. We'll talk about that later. But whatever the assignment is, you get that assignment from the Lord, you're faithful in it, and you accomplish it, and you bring glory to the Lord, and then He's going to reward you. You know, one of the things I admire about my dad, so my dad is 84 years old now. He's been in the ministry over 60 years. But whatever assignment he gets from the Lord, he just does it. He just does it. So he pastored a church for a couple of years, and he went to Africa. Went to Africa. My parents went to Africa sight unseen. There was a season we had no electricity, no running water, and they served a people in obscurity. But my dad has never looked for fame. He's never looked for notoriety. But whatever the assignment was, he did the assignment, and he did it with joy. And now, full circle, all the way around, now in the twilight years of his life, he's pastoring a church that's basically in a village just north of here, 400 some people in that village in this tiny little church. Picture a country church, just a little white church with a steeple, but he's just serving the Lord. Whatever assignment God has given him, and I would say whatever job God has given you, just that's your assignment, but you say, Lord, I want to finish this assignment, and I want to do it for your glory, and I want to do it with the right heart and the right attitude. For some of you, that might be school. You're finishing school. Whatever the assignment was. You know, I've had over 20 jobs all when I was in school, different things. But I just whatever assignment, I just tried to do the assignment and bring glory to the Lord. I didn't always have a great attitude because I've had all kinds of jobs, from making pizzas to janitorial work to all kinds of things. But I tried, I grew, I learned a little bit. So how do you pray for strength for your current assignment? Number one, God will give you wisdom and understanding. He'll give you wisdom and understanding. So start praying for wisdom and understanding into your situation. Some of you, to be honest with you probably haven't paused long enough to say, God, give me wisdom about my situation. Give me understanding as to why I'm here and what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, I'm here to get a paycheck, but what is it I'm supposed to do to influence people, to minister to people? God will give you wisdom and understanding. That's verse 9. Verse 10, he says, pray that in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. Don't miss this. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So God wants you to bear fruit wherever you are. And guess what? You'll keep growing. You'll keep growing in the Lord. So pray that God will help you bear fruit. Whatever job you're in, say, God, help me to bear fruit. Help me to learn and grow in you, but help me to bear fruit. In other words, that I'll be productive. And you'll see the Lord will start shining on you. You'll start really seeing the fruit of the Lord in your life. You'll start seeing productivity. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power. So He will give you strength. God will give you strength. In fact, I want you to just look at this verse because He says that He will strengthen you with power. That word power is actually the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. So God says, in your work situation, He is going to give you dunamis, dynamite. He's going to give you, he's going to infuse you with supernatural power to do whatever you're supposed to do. So you might feel really, really weak. When you get up on a Monday morning, you think, man, I don't even have the strength. I have to make this long commute. I have to put in these hours. Hear the word of the Lord. God will give you dunamis. So dunamis isn't just for ministry here at church and praying for people to be healed. Dunamis is so you can accomplish your work. And so he will strengthen you with power according to his glorious might. That word glorious is a Greek word doxa. And it means the glory of God. It means the shining of God. In fact, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he shone with the glory, the doxa, the glory of God. You're shining. So he's going to empower you. He's going to give you dunamis with his glorious might. His glory, and the word might here is different than dunamis. It's the word kratos. And kratos means visible resurrection power. In fact, it's manifested power. So if you put these words together, God is saying, you know what? If you pray, he will strengthen you with dunamis so that his glory will shine through you. And that's good. So wherever you're at work, whatever job you have, you pray for the dunamis, the power, the dynamite, so that his glory can shine out of you, so that your light can shine. So God wants to give you grace. Pray for that. Pray that he'll strengthen you with his dynamite power to do whatever he has called you to do. I'm sure you have testimonies, but I can't even tell you how many times I have felt like I just don't have the power to do what I'm supposed to do. But I begin to pray, and God gives you the grace and the wherewithal to accomplish whatever he has called you to accomplish. And so God will give you strength. Now, the next part of the verse, he says he'll give you great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. So God is going to give you great endurance. Some of you, that just might be your prayer today. God, help me to endure. Help me to have patience as I'm working this job, as I'm ministering to. Maybe the person sitting next to you is the most irritable person that you have ever met. We'll talk about this later in the series, how God uses people to help you grow. And so instead of you just wanting to get out of there, which is understandable, maybe he's got you there to let your light shine. Maybe he's got you there to transform. But he's going to give you endurance, and he's going to give you patience in your job situation. And then look at this. This is so powerful. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of life. He says this, that he'll give you endurance and patience and joy. Verse 11, joy. Some of you might need to pray just for joy, just for joy. But this, hold on, say this is your verse. Say, Lord, you told me you would give me patience, understand, and you would even give me joy in my job. And I want to submit this as a footnote. We'll get to this later, but sometimes you don't get the new job till you get the breakthrough in the current job. And the breakthrough isn't necessarily what you're thinking. It's the joy of the Lord in your heart, and it's being content with what God has given you. So I promise you this, if you'll start praying this, God will even give you joy for your job. You can actually enjoy your job, even if it's not your favorite situation. You really can make the most of it. And so ask for God's grace, that patience, endurance, and actual joy that he'll give you. And then he says, give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance. Have you ever felt unqualified? I have felt so unqualified so many times. I think, man, I am not qualified to do what I'm doing. I mean, I would tell you this, that I never knew. In fact, most people that are in the ministry, when you go to Bible college and you start and you get a call to the ministry, you have no idea that you have to learn something called QuickBooks. You have no idea that you have to learn about land acquisition and deeds on property. You have no idea that you have to learn about insurance and all kinds of administration. You have no idea. There were no courses like that in my degree. And so it's really, really interesting, right? So you feel unqualified. But then even, how about this? I've walked with people for many, many years in the discipleship and counseling process. And so you start walking with people through tremendous pain and hurt that they've walked through. And you say, I am so unqualified to help this person. Now, hear the word of the Lord. What I want you to know today is that God will qualify you. This is the verse. So in your context, maybe something entirely different, and your boss wants you to do something, or you feel unqualified. Hear the word of the Lord. God qualifies you. He will actually qualify you. And notice this, to share in the inheritance of his saints. So this is part of your inheritance. So the anointing of the Lord is going to qualify you. You work, you learn, but you're going to be qualified. God is going to help you to do what he has qualified. And then look at this, verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's going to reward you. I promise you, God will reward you if you have the right heart and you say, Lord, I want to accept whatever assignment you have given me. And why do you have me here? You have me to touch people. Why do you have me here? It's more than just picking up a paycheck. My job is my ministry. And so I want you to begin to think and pray about these things. So pray for strength for your current assignment. I'll review. One, God will give you wisdom and understanding. Two, God will help you bear fruit. Thirdly, God will give you strength. Four, God will give you endurance and patience. Five, God will give you joy. Six, God will qualify you. And seven, God will reward you. This is a powerful passage. A lot of people, to be honest with you, when it comes to some of these passages, they skip over them because of the uncomfortability of the context of the first century. But if you'll say, Lord, what is it you want me to learn from this? And you lean into it and pray, then God will begin to give you the grace to fulfill your assignment. Can you say amen, church? And so I conclude with this, in this verse, in verse 11. In fact, let's put verse 11 up here again because it's so powerful. But ask God to touch you with his glory and fill you with his dynamite and manifest his resurrection power. So here it is again. Being strengthened with all dunamis, with all dynamite. So make that your prayer. Lord, strengthen me with dynamite according to your doxa kratos, according to your glorious manifested resurrection power. That's what Kratos is. So what God is saying is, you know what? I'm going to fill you with dynamite so that the glory of the Lord will pulsate out of you so you will shine with the glory of God. And so he'll give you strength and endurance. So make this your prayer. Say, Lord, fill me. Fill me with your power. Your power is, yes, to heal the sick. Yes, to drive out demons. Yes, to preach your gospel. But fill me with the power so I can fulfill my assignment, whatever that is, and I can see the doxa, the glory of the Lord, shine through me like resurrection power manifested wherever you go. The glory of God is shining through you. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet.